Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Well, the walkouts have begun, my friends, and lots to talk about today, including standing on your principles and Kate Brown's continued assault on the rural areas of this state. One of the dumbest moves she's ever made in her life. With this letter to Washington Governor Jay Inslee about proposing to remove the four Snake River dams. What does... I mean, look, it's so bad, friends, that even the Willamette Week, which is about as left as you can get in this state in terms of a newspaper, they're puzzled. They're puzzled why a governor in the middle of a fight with the rural people of this state through timber unity and everything else going on at the Capitol would do something to hurt them even worse. And even the Willamette Week says, they're just puzzled why she would want to remove a carbon-free source of electricity for people. Folks, she's revealing what the radical left is doing. They will not be happy until you and I are living in the Stone Age. I've said that for years. That's what progressivism means. It's why I call them regressive totalitarian Marxist folks. It ain't progressive. It's just the opposite. It's regressive. It's forcing you and I to live back in the Stone Age. That's what they want. And Republicans walked out of the House last night and didn't engage in the evening session, all except one Republican. Just happens to be the one who replaced Newt Bueller in Bend, Sherry Helt, who apparently has told people, members of her caucus, that the reason that she didn't walk out, wasn't going to walk out last night, because her political advisor, the same guy who has been advising Newt Bueller for years, the same guy who advised Monica Webby, the same guy who advised the basketball player, whose name is escaping me, Chris Dudley, marvelous man. Same guy who advised him, who hasn't won a race in years, advised her, no, don't do it. It might look bad. Stunning, folks. By the way, is there something in the water over in Bend? Because apparently Tim Canope doesn't want to walk out either, right? We talked about that. And thanks to those of you who sent him letters. Well, somebody else is sending letters. And it's some of our listeners who are emailing both Denise Bowles, who has not yet, as I'm told, not yet fully committed to walking out with the Senate Republicans. Anyway, there must be something in the water in Bend. Because Sherry Helt in the House did not walk out. And half of her district makes up Tim Canope's district, Senate district over in Bend. Got to be something in the water, apparently. So we're going to talk a little bit about another bill also. And then we have a great interview at the bottom of the hour with Anna Kasachev. She is of the Russian Old Believer community who's running for the House as a Republican here in Oregon. We're going to talk with her about why she's running, what she's hearing, what she wants to accomplish for people. Is the Russian community getting behind her? Now, folks, I have long believed that there has to be a realignment in Oregon's political makeup in terms of how people vote and what they care about and them working together if we are going to return this state away from one-party rule. And the ugliness of that, which is why Republicans walked out, by the way, last night in the House. And so that being the case, the Russian community, the Old Believer community, the Slavic Vote community, which is actually Slavic Vote as a political action committee, they all have to start working together with the Democrats and the unaffiliated voters that are being left behind in the rural areas of the state, along with Timber Unity, along with many of these Democrat urban women who don't want to lose their parental rights when it comes to the forced vaccinations issue. Now, if we can put together these groups of people effectively in this state, you will make a difference in enough legislative districts that the Democrats will no longer control the legislature, or at least have tax-raising majorities that they can just roll over the Republicans. And that's what they've been doing here. That's why Republicans walked out last night. Because what Republicans have said, and Tina Kotek didn't like it. In fact, she apparently, in an act of vindictiveness, she removed a Republican vice chair of a committee. You know, when I served in the legislature in 1999 through 2000, the beginning of 2007, I served 8 years in the House. Typically, it was not the practice to give the minor party vice chairmanships of your committees. We started doing that when I served. And it was a good thing, and frankly, I think it's the right thing to do. Because it reaches across the aisle, it gives them, and occasionally you let them run a meeting. Now, you talk with them about it ahead of time, and you never give them the ability to pass legislation in your committee you don't want passed. And all of that is talked about ahead of time, but you let them run meetings, you let them have input. And you know what it does? It fosters some cooperation. And it does, and it did. And it worked well. In this case, Tina Kotek, as a punishment, decided to take away one of those vice chairmanships. Anyway, so keep in mind that the Democrats in the House have 38 members. Republicans have 22. Oregon's Constitution says to be able to do business, you gotta have 40 out of 60 in the House. And in the Senate, you gotta have 20 out of 30. Republicans have the ability to shut the legislature down. And they should. Now, they walked out last night because it would, they're just slowing things down, and they should. You see, they are forcing, last night, they are forcing Democrats to read every word of every bill. Now, they've done that before. They suspended it last session, and I don't think they should have. I think they should have continued it. But they did that last night. Now, this bill last night was a bill that has to do with the Native Americans in Oregon. And Democrats are going to try to tar and feather the Republicans with this. The reality is, and Tina Kotek complained about this, is that the bill that they were reading is 53 pages. And if you read even a speed reader reading that bill is going to take about 3 hours to just read the words of the bill. Now, Oregon's Constitution says you got to read every word of the bill unless there is unanimous consent to suspend the rule that enforces that. And you just go ahead and read the first part of the bill, the summary of it, and you go ahead and you carry the bill, and you debate it, and then you go sort. This bill is it's meant to ensure that Native American children are raised with their families and cultures. Sets out requirements how foster care cases involving Native American children are handled. It's a good bill. It's bipartisan. But it has nothing to do with the cap and trade business, but yet it has everything to do with talking tax and scam. Why? Well, because the tax and scam bill in the House has not been heard in committee. The tax and scam bill in the House is a carbon copy of Senate Bill 1530, which is the cap and tax bill, tax and scam, as I call it. The reality is Republicans have to stand and fight. You're very limited when you're in the super minority as Republicans are. You have very few tools left to you. One of them is slowing things down. And you slow things down. You know, look, if Democrats want to create these massive bills, like, for instance, the cap and tax bill, tax and scam bill. It's 177 pages so far, friends, and they'll add to it because they'll try and buy off Republicans with more exemptions. And really what they're just trying to do is get the basic framework passed in the House and the Senate and become law. And then later they'll expand it to be what they want it to be. Now, they have to keep their base, the radical far left environmental wackos, at bay for a little while. But you see, they'll go along with it ultimately. They'll be drug kicking and screaming to it because they know that if it's the camel with the nose under the tent, once you get the policy in place, you never get rid of it. Now, yesterday, I was on Lars Larson's show to talk about this in relation to Senator Knope, who has made it known, at least to members of his caucus, that he is not going to walk out this time. And my whole purpose in going on with Lars was not only to talk about that, but is to encourage people to raise the level of awareness, shall we say, heat, to put heat on Tim Knope so that he doesn't, ultimately he's more afraid of other people in his district that he's going to hurt, the little people, the rural people of his district, than he is of winning re-election because he's pandering or thinks he's pandering to the people in the middle of his district that want tax and scam. And you know what? If he said it the way I just said it, he'd be fine. I want to turn up the heat on him, and you should too. And thanks to some of you who did yesterday, because you sent me emails just about that very thing. Good on you. In fact, Avis, thank you, Avis, for sending a great email to Tim Knope and Senator Denise Bowles. Thank you, Avis. Appreciate it. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Diamond Royalty Rides. You know, friends, there's always an opportunity. In your life, there are just special occasions that happen. Birthdays, anniversaries, or just sometimes you want to make somebody in your family or your maybe somebody you're sweet on, your sweetie, feel really special. And you do that by hiring a limousine. I tell you, friends, every time I've ridden in a limousine, you do feel special. So make somebody feel really special. Check out Diamond Royalty Rides, great Salem-based company, DiamondRoyaltyRides.com, DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. Now, I'm telling you, folks, in fact, E. Wernereski is a state representative Republican from Klamath Falls. Has written a great piece, in the Oregon Catalyst. You can see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com or OregonCatalyst.com. It's about standing on principle. This is exactly what Republicans have to do in this state. That means you use every tool, like walking out or demanding the Constitution actually be fulfilled, like reading every word of every bill. Then let's do that. Let's stand on principle, don't you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
You know, I just love it when the Democrats who are trying to ram their radical far-left agenda down our throats complain. Complain about having to comply with the Constitution. Now, you know, part of the show is helping to give you tools to, you know, persuade the persuadables, right? So this is a tool that you can use. What I just said is a statement that you can make. Now, you have to be careful who you make that statement to, okay? But imagine the legislature actually having to follow the Constitution. Now, if you said that to somebody in your circle of influence that maybe is persuadable, isn't that an opportunity to begin the conversation? And you use this example. Did you know that Oregon's Constitution says you have to read every word of every bill before you vote on it? And that forever it has been the practice to violate the Constitution with a rule that says if everybody agrees, unanimous consent, if everybody agrees, then you don't have to follow the Constitution. Whoa, whoa, time out. Hello? Now, that in and of itself is something that I think crosses party lines, don't you? I mean, Democrats suddenly have this wonderful love affair with the founders, right, in the Constitution, especially in this whole impeachment unconstitutional action. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And that's what E. Werner Reske is talking about in his piece. He's talking about standing on principle, on the rule of law. And he says something here. He says, this past week, I chose to leave a committee early before a vote in a strong gesture of protest, along with two of my House Republican colleagues. We were being forced to vote on one of three versions of a cap and trade bill introduced just 2 weeks ago. This 69-page bill had never been discussed, debated, or received any public input. This by itself is an abuse of the process. It is using majority power to get a predetermined outcome, obfuscating Oregon's deliberate and transparent committee process to get the best outcome. You see, what they were doing was that they were trying to pass a bill that had not had a public hearing. Oh, it technically had a public hearing, which is called, you know, a tap, tap. It's a tap in, tap out. It takes about 2 seconds. I know I used to do it as a committee chairman. Now, we tap in, tap out those bills, but then you have to hold a real public hearing and let people come in and have their say. In this case, they weren't going to do that. They literally were just going to tap it in, tap it out, and, oh, by the way, now we're going to vote on it. Whoa, 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 time out. That's standing on your principle. That's a reason to walk out, don't you think? 503-589-1220 at the bottom of the hour, we have Anna Kasachev, member of the Old Believer Russian community that has come awake, folks. They're going to make a difference in this next election. She's running for the Republican nomination to take on an existing Democrat in one of the most racist. Yes, you heard me. I just said it. One of the most racist districts in this state, because the Democrats specifically and proudly drew a congressional, or not a congressional, but a state House representative district specifically for Hispanics. They've made, and frankly, since other districts that were written by Republicans have been overturned in federal court in other states like Pennsylvania, this one ought to be overturned for the same reasons. It ought to be taken to federal court. It's racist to do that, don't you think? Imagine that. Democrats who decry racism actually proudly creating a racist district. Anyway, Anna Kasachev is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about that. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Our sponsor this segment is Righteous Renovations. That's Eric Azor's company, RighteousRenovations.com. You need some work done on your home. You need a new deck. You need some fixing of stuff that's wrong. This is your opportunity to do it. Check out RighteousRenovations.com. You know, you can trust him. You trust him to believe that he'll follow through with the things that he says he's going to do. He's confident to put the word righteous in his name of his company. But even more importantly, go to his website, RighteousRenovations.com. Check out what other people say about doing business with Eric Azor, RighteousRenovations.com. One of the other interesting bills that caught my eye that I think has really bad implications here is this bill that has big bipartisan support, and it passed the House. This is a bill that prevents Oregon from suspending driver's licenses if you don't pay your traffic tickets. Now, wait a moment here. I mean, it passed 42-16 in the Oregon House. Lots of Republicans voted for it. What does this create in the long run? Well, what it means is that you can get a, well, say you can go to the state capitol. You can get a parking ticket at the city of Salem because you didn't pay your meter. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, yeah, they say that they're still going to, you can still send it to collections. Right. You see, the reason for doing this, and it was a Democrat bill, by the way, the Oregon Law Center, far lefties, nonprofit legal rights groups, estimates that 334,000 such suspensions have been issued in the past 10 years. I'd say that's a problem, wouldn't you? Don't you think people should, if you break the law, you should be held accountable for it? Anyway, the guy who carried the bill, Democrat Representative Chris Gorsuch, who, by the way, is a law enforcement officer. Hello? Says suspending a license deprives people of reliable, lawful transportation necessary to get them to and from work and do their critical obligations. A system that relies on debt-based driver's license suspension creates a vicious cycle of increasing debt and waste state resources. How about the moral issue of holding people accountable for breaking the law? What message do you send to say, nah, just keep on driving, it's okay. You know what? Sooner or later, the law means nothing. In back in a moment with Anna Kasichev.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 24 minutes till the top of the hour. We are joined by Anna Kasichev, who's running for, as a Republican, for the State House in a district that the Democrats gerrymandered specifically for the Hispanic community. Anna, how are you? Good morning. I can't hear Anna. Okay, well, we'll try to get that figured out, folks. One of the things that is so important. That have the right motivations. And actually, I had interviewed Anna live when we were at the Timber Unity broadcast. And, you know, she has a powerful story about why she's running. And it's always the first question that I ask. And I'll ask it again when we get her on the air here. Apparently, we're having some difficulty doing that. We'll keep working at that, folks. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. And let's go to Art while we're waiting to get Anna on. Art, are you there? Good morning.
I'm here, Jeff. I'm anxiously anticipating your interview there. I've heard her speak and everything, and I'm actually in her district, and so guess who's going to be supporting her? Anyways, a couple comments here. Jeff, I do not understand why everybody's scratching their heads about Kate, okay? We've all heard the adage, when you lay down with ducks, you wake up with fleas. Well, Kate has been involved with these wacko environmentalists. she's not only woke up with fleas, she's become a wacko environmentalist. So nobody should be scratching her head. That's just the facts, Jeff. She's just showing her true colors.
Well, I think you're right. And Art, I got to let you go because I think we've got Anna on the line. But you're right about that. And this whole idea that, I mean, it's so bad that Kate Brown would suggest removing the Snake River dams, four of them, even though they provide carbon-free electricity to make people's lives better. The idea, I mean, it's so stupid, especially doing it at a time when she's perceived as attacking the rural people of this state with her ideas. I mean, it's so bad that even the Willamette Week has to say they're mystified. They don't know. I don't either, but I think probably that's what you just said, Art, is probably the explanation. She's just crazy. But somebody who isn't is Anna Kasachev. She joins us right now. Anna, good morning. How are you?
Fabulous. Good morning.
All right. So first question, as you know, I always ask every candidate for office is, why are you running?
Well, I felt I had no choice but to put myself out there to bring integrity and honor back to the Capitol. This year, my goodness, the legislative session has been a little bit crazy with cap and trade inserted into the short session. And our area needs representatives that will support our working families and their ability to make decisions for themselves. Across the board, as I talk to candidates or voters, all of them say, Oregon doesn't need more government. And yet that's what we're seeing is just the supermajority pushing agendas right onto Oregon without them having the ability to have any voice in it whatsoever. And so it just motivates me and continues to motivate me to educate my community to get politically engaged.
Well, and you are part of the old believer community. And, you know, traditionally they have not been engaged. Are they getting there? Are they going to be supporting you and helping you?
Very much so. They're actually ecstatic, which is beautiful to see. We continue to visit the Capitol in opposition of cap and trade, and then also the survey bill, which is asking children as early as 10 years old if they've had anal or oral sex in the past week or 2 weeks, I think is how it's stated. So very much out at the Capitol. They're very excited in working on getting someone elected from our community, the Old Believer community, but not just the Russian Old Believers. I've met with the Hispanic community just yesterday, and they also have talked about being very excited about having someone who will actually listen to their values. And in this particular case, the Hispanic was a Democrat and not a Republican, but yet was very much a supporter of the values that I plan to bring to the Capitol.
So let me ask you something. You just quickly told a little story about a survey that is taken in public school. And I'll bet you when you tell that story to even Democrats, probably the Democrats don't like it any more than you do. I mean, do you get that kind of reaction?
Yes, very much so. So comprehensive sex education, this survey is really adding to the comprehensive sex education. And when I speak to parents, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. The majority of Oregon wants to parent their own children. If it's about sex, they want to be able to teach their kids themselves and not have the public schools do that for them or on their behalf. So I asked the question, would you sit your child down and let him watch a pornography? And the answer across the board is no, hell no. So the issue is a big one. And the more we talk about it, most parents, which is surprising to me, don't even know that there is a survey that their kids are answering, don't even know the detail of comprehensive sex education. And so I've just been out there talking to people and parents specifically about the issues that we're facing in Oregon and how it'll impact our families and what happens to our kids. And what I hear from voters and constituents is leave us alone. Let us parent. Let us do what we do. Let us work. Stop taxing us. Just let us be.
So, Anna, are you going to be campaigning full time and are you going to be going door to door or do you do that now?
So I haven't gone door to door yet. I do plan on it. I'm actually very excited to get out there and meet the community. I have met with business owners and people that I do know, and just walking out in the store, if I'm meeting with people, I actually, tonight is Wednesday, my nephew is a recovering drug and alcohol, and so I attend family group with him, and I've spoken at family group with some of the folks, and I let them know that I'm running, and Democrat or Republican across the board, they said, gosh, Anna, you're the right person to be in there because of being so dedicated to family, community, and just overall, my heart is with Oregon. I grew up here. This is my land. I was raised here. I picked berries here, so we nurtured the land that we live in, and now we're ready to give back to it.
Well, I tell you, the cheapest thing you can do that takes the bulk of your time is to go door-to-door, because when you go door-to-door and you meet people, you get to tell that story that you've just told, and you get that kind of reaction from people. And that's what wins people from the other side, because this is a Democrat district drawn that way on purpose, gerrymandered. But you can move people to your side by telling that story and connecting with them. Now, you can, when you do that, the other side is going to accuse you of being a racist, a homophobe, you're a climate denier, you don't care about kids and senior citizens. They're going to say all of that stuff because that's what they say about Republicans. How are you going to counter that?
Oh, my. Well, gosh, first I want to say with grace and honor, secondly, I can't change people, and haters will be haters, right? With that said, I'm a survivor of child abuse and domestic violence. And believe me when I say I have a thick skin. Sticks and stones tried to break my bones, but they obviously only succeeded in making me stronger. And so what I want to say is if the haters think that threats and hate words will have me scurrying off, they have another thing coming. There is nothing stronger than a survivor who comes out on the other side and decides enough is enough. And that's where I'm at right now, is I have tolerated and have been subjected to so much abuse that and now I'm in a place of good and harmony. And I found that there is a lot more to life than the hate that I've been subjected to. And so when I see things like what the Capitol is doing, where we have our Republicans who had to walk again, it just breaks my heart, and it makes me want to go out there and make things better instead of focusing on the hate that we have going on right now. So they can bring it on, is what I say. There is nothing they can do that will have me scurry off and crawl in a little hole and cry my little eyes out. I've done that for many years. I'm done.
Well, good for you. And Anna, I got to tell you, that is an incredibly powerful story, what you just said. And you should tell that story wherever you go, because I'm telling you that that gets people in their hearts. And that's what you have to do. You have to get people emotionally. By the way, you referenced the House Republicans walking out last night. If you had been with them, had been elected, and you were with them, would you have walked out last night?
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, they were pushed against the wall. This is the bullying that's been happening with the Republicans, which has been unfortunate. And I think what Oregon maybe doesn't understand that I want to share is the Republicans have to leave their families, their pets, their kids, their parents, and flee in the middle of the night. With that said, we get to wake up in our pajamas and we get to have our coffee in the cozy comforts of our home. They don't have that opportunity.
Anna, hang on. Anna, hang on over the break, and we'll be back and we'll finish up in a moment. Anna Kashtachev at 6:48.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to go back to our interview with Anna Kasachev, Republican running for the state house. This segment of the show, by the way, is brought to you by our friends at Freedom Heating and Air. Freedom from cold nights. Did you see the temperature? It was pretty cold last night. You know what? If your furnace is acting up or your heat pump, why don't you call Freedom Heating and Air? FreedomHeatingandAir.net is their website. FreedomHeatingandAir.net. They've been in business 40 years here in the Mid-Valley. They can take care of you. FreedomHeatingandAir.net. I've got some great emails, and we'll get into those, but I want to finish up with Anna. Anna, do you have a website that people can go to contribute, where they can sign up to help you win?
Yes, I do. It is AnnaKasachev.com. And absolutely, I would love to have Oregon. I've said it before, and I ask again, I am running for House District 22, but I do ask, I would love to be owned by Oregon and not advocacy companies. So please contribute so that I could be your voice at the Capitol instead of having to do larger companies or advocacy companies and then their bidding. So let's change Oregon together. I do ask for contribution. I'll take any. So yes, absolutely.
Anna Kasachev, spell your last name, AnnaKasachev.com. Spell it for us.
KASACHEV.
Anna Kasachev. By the way, you, you know, I have said it correctly since you told me how to say it. Kasachev, like Chevy?
Chevy, but I drive a Ford.
That's very good. Last question, Anna, is do you support President Trump?
I do. I do support. And really, it's about the religious freedom. He sort of disbanded many myths and allowed religious freedom to practice whatever you believe. So regardless of Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, and that's the biggest reason that I am a supporter of President Trump right now.
Very good. Oh, really? Anna, I wish you much success out there. Thanks for joining us. And make sure to check in with us again. We'd love to have you back on the air. In fact, our listening area is your entire legislative district that you're running for. And a lot of our folks can help you win. AnnaKasachev.com. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
Be blessed. It's Anna Kasachev, folks. I mean, you want to help somebody get elected? Have the right motivations for running, from wanting to serve you? Why don't you help her out? We all got to stand together, because if we don't, we're not going to win. We're not going to survive, friends. This is a point I made yesterday on Lars's show. This is why it's so important to walk out for the Republicans, because it's unfortunately the only tool they have. Now, they're in this place, by the way, largely of their own making. Now, I'm quite serious when I say that. That may offend some of you Republicans out there. But, you know, when you listen to advisors like this advisor who never wins anything but gets all the big clients, who advised Sherry Helt, no, it wouldn't be good for you if you walked out with the rest of the Republicans. It's that kind of thinking that is always lost Republicans, because it's Democrat light, folks. They've none. These kinds of consultants have learned nothing from Trump. Of course, they're never Trumpers to begin with. But the point is, you stand and you fight. People want somebody to stand up for them. That's why you have to stand up. Just like James, who wrote this email to Senator Denise Bowles. He said, Denise, I'm an Oregon elector, resident of the great state of Oregon since 1966 and a longtime West Salem homeowner. I just wanted to encourage you to stand up for all Oregonians and fight against cap and trade. Stand with fellow Republicans and fight against mob rule. Take a stand against all proposed legislation that infringes on law-abiding Oregonians and would turn them into criminals. Thanks for your time and hard work. Now, that's a nice letter. But Jim didn't ask her to commit to walking out, you should. Avis, by the way, had sent me an email saying that the email she had sent to Canope was acknowledged by Canope. Okay, good deal. Rich writes an email saying, the law on suspension of your license is not enforced now. Law enforcement are letting people with no license continue to drive. That's true, by the way, with no penalty. There is no enforcement of any laws now in Oregon unless it's believed you have the money to pay from personal family member on heroin and meth. He has been stopped numerous times. No problem. Just move on. It's so frustrating. Now, with enforcement at a low, why get a license? Why bother? Good point. I mean, we let all the illegal aliens drive with or without licenses. Anyway, he goes on to say, the same goes for drugs. Enforce the laws and save us the grief of becoming a victim. Oregon is just following what the handlers from California with a K, and Washington have done in those states. Seattle and San Francisco, L.A. as examples. Rhode Island made a big change in their problem by actually enforcing the laws and increasing prison time for drug dealers. Unless the goal is to make law enforcement useless and a joke to cause more chaos. Yikes. By the way, if you want to help make a difference, show up tomorrow at the War Room. Oregon Citizen Lobby War Room is at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll go till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Just going to depend on how the day goes. Today's a big day because supposedly the Democrats in the House are going to hear their carbon copy bill of their cap and tax bill in the House. Timber Unity is going to be their big time today. Let's go to the phone to my friend Jake. Jake, good morning. How are you, brother?
Well, since I'm exiting out of the farming business, Jeff, I'm adding gray matter to my brain, and hopefully I'll be getting a lot smarter, and I've been using the latest farming techniques from no less than expert Mr. Mini Mike Bloomberg. So I guess I wish you'd have been out talking about this a lot earlier. Maybe I'd still be in business, Jeff. Total sarcasm there, buddy. How are you?
I'm well, friend, and I am so saddened to hear that you're exiting the dairy business. It's unnecessary that you've had to make these decisions.
Well, Jeff, it's not only how things are going in the state; it's a matter of economy of scale, and it's going to be the large get larger, and the moderate to less than large, it's so hard to be able to, with the price we get, to make it. And so you're living on 1980s prices with 21st century bills. And when you throw in all the other things that you've talked about over the months and years, and that you and I have visited about over time, and you got to make the tough decision. And, you know, I had to go by what my dad's brother, my uncle, has said to me years ago: make the change or it'll make you. And so we had to do this, but God's with us, Jeff. And I'm getting used to not looking at the clock all the time.
Yeah, and I know, brother. Myself. I got to let you go. We're at the end of the show. That's my friend, Jake. Friends, War Room tomorrow, room 343. Join us, Oregon Citizen Lobby War Room. 343 is the room, 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll have coffee. See you then.